Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God. I have been teaching on the subject of salvation. A person who becomes born again by the Spirit of the Lord has become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So if you are born again by the Spirit of God, there should be a new life in you. The Word of God teaches us in Hebrews chapter 7. That our Lord Jesus Christ is making intercessions for us so that we can live a holy and godly life. He is the one that is rebuking Satan for our sake. It tells us in verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 7, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's the promise of God to the believer. We will never fail if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our destination is sure. We know that the Bible teaches that. Once a person becomes born again, once he eats of the tree of life in the middle of the garden, then the Bible teaches he will live forever. That is found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. Check it for yourself. Have you eaten of the tree of life? We have been teaching on the subject of eating the flesh of Jesus and drinking the blood of Jesus, which is a symbol, of course. That means if we become born again, we have become one with him, and we have eaten of the fruit of the tree of life. And with that comes the promise. Once we eat of that fruit, once we eat of that tree, we shall live forever. I will continue to teach on this subject, but before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name, and I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open the hearts of the people so that they can understand we are fast approaching your coming back for your bride. And I ask you, Lord, to bless us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Once a person becomes born again by the Spirit of the living God, then his eyes open to the truth of what God has in store for us. The way of salvation is open. The curtain that is before the Holy of Holies has been split down the middle. It is open for a person to walk into Jesus, into the Holies of Holies, and meet God there by himself. He doesn't need a priest. He does not need the Pope. He does not need a preacher. He can go by himself. It's a one-on-one relationship. It's between you and God. Yes, when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, the curtain that separated God from men was split down the middle. Up till then, only the high priest could go in there. Once a year only, he had to be without blemish. When you read through the instructions that God gave to the priest that went into the Holies of Holies, it is unbelievable. They had to clean themselves. They had to do sacrifices. When he went in there, he was completely blemish-free. His clothes were in perfect order and perfect condition. His body, he could not have one little cut on him. He had to be perfect. And this is how he walked into the Holies of Holies to bring a sacrifice offering of blood that was for the atonement of the people. And he went in there once a year only. If anyone went in there any other time, the Bible teaches us, they would have died. But now the curtain is split down the middle. It has been rent in two. Now a person can go in just the way he is. The Bible teaches you come as you are and you meet God in the Holies of Holies. And the Lord God with his blood will wash you clean and holy. If you come with a contrite heart that seeks forgiveness, the Bible very clearly teaches us we are then accepted by God because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the true sacrifice that God Jehovah demanded for the payment of sin. Don't try to be religious about it. Don't try to bring a sacrifice like Cain did. Bring yourself with a contrite heart and fall on your face before this awesome God, and God will accept you. It's not about me getting brownie points when I encourage you to go in there. It's not about signing something on the dotted line. It's not about joining some church. It's not about getting baptized. It's about being delivered from the horrifying lake of fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what it's all about, to deliver you from everlasting destruction. And once that happens, once you have come into the Holy of Holies, something happens to you. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, "For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." With that one offering, he perfects you forever. Throughout the eons of eternities, you will be holy in the eyes of God. The Bible teaches us very clearly that the blood of Jesus is the atonement, it's the agent that God demands for a person to be cleansed. Yes, what an awesome God we have. 2,000 years ago, he came to set us free from the clutches of Satan. When I talk to people about getting saved, when I talk to people about turning to Jesus for salvation, it amazes me that they would even question that offering. Because don't we all know that there is a horrifying destination waiting for those who reject the offer of God? When I grew up, there was one concern in my heart, and that concern was that I would be going to hell. Yes, that was deeply instilled in me. And you know, the cry of my heart was answered when I found the Lord Jesus Christ at the age of 27. God opened my eyes to the truth of salvation. And since then, it has been an incredible joy in my spirit that I cannot contain. I have to let other people know about it. For who in his right mind would reject the gift of eternal life? Who in his right mind would not pursue and seek after, once he even has a bit of a clue, that your soul can be saved? Yes, this is what happened to me, and I'm thankful that I made that decision. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." This is something unbelievable. The Lord Jesus Christ declares something here that a lot of people do not understand. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, there is an interesting scripture. It tells us, "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." So the Bible declares us to be sinless once we become born again by the Spirit of God. Oh, when we look at one another, we can see that we are sinning. But in God's eyes, we are pure and holy because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It tells us here in Hebrews chapter 10 that after he has put his laws into our hearts, after we have received or made that covenant with him, then our sins and iniquities are never going to be remembered anymore. There are many people who say to such preaching as that gives us a license to sin. I want to remind you again of the scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. I will read it to you slowly and explain it. It says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them." What does that really mean? It is very clearly written here that he will program us with his laws. They will be programmed into our being. From now on, we are seeking the will of God. Oh, yes, the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 6 and 7 that a revolution will then start and we will be swayed back and forth, but that's okay. We are going to have our problems because once a person becomes a new creation, that's when the battle begins. But for a person to want to sin after he has received the knowledge of the truth is totally anti-scripture. It cannot happen if you have a changed heart. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the last scripture, that we have received the mind of Christ. Did Christ, knowing that he was God, go about to seek on how to sin? No, he did not. Why? His spirit would have totally revolted against it. And this is exactly what happens to a born-again believer. His spirit revolts against sin. Even when a person has been bound by alcohol or drugs or pornography, once he becomes a born-again Christian, there is a cry in his heart to be set free. And if he is not serious with getting himself free, he lives a life of frustration and misery. This is what I have experienced when people speak to me about their problems. Yes, a person who has been programmed by God to do the will of God after he has become born again, the farthest thing from his mind is to have a license to sin. Yes, the Bible teaches us that once we're born again, we are born again for keeps. In Romans chapter 8, I will leave you with one more scripture that has been dear to my heart all my life. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, I want you to study that. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Will we ever be separated from the love of God? No. The people who reject Christ after they die will be thrown into the lake of fire, and there they will be separated from the love of God. We who turn to Christ, it tells us here, neither life, nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus towards us. That is so awesome. The love of God will never leave the believer. And that ensures our eternal salvation. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing. Amen. Schenkst dein himmels Werk. O du klarer Sonnenschein, lass doch gehen die Strahlen dein. O du klarer Sonnenschein, lass doch gehen die Strahlen dein. Deinetwegen bin ich kommen, o du gnadenreicher Gott. Meine Augen gehen mir über und mein Mund ist seif zerfallen. Verborgen liegt, zu dich mit Angst.
Herz so find ich dich. Unter diesem Blümelein wird mein Herz zu finden sein. Unter diesem Blümelein wird mein Herz zu finden sein. Weil sich selber tut nennen und das Blümlein Meister ist und die Blümlein ihn erkennen für den Herrn Jesus Christ.
In this part of the program, I want to take the time to thank all of you for participating in this ministry. We thank you for your gifts and offerings that you have sent us throughout the year. We have all our bills paid up, and we thank the Lord for that. We did not actually even notice a recession in the year 2009. And I believe we are approaching some interesting times. The Bible teaches us that in the last days, there will be people who will be listening to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Yes, many people's faith will be tried, but I firmly believe the Word of God, which speaks that in the latter days, the Lord will pour out His Spirit on all flesh. We will see some very interesting, powerful things happening in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. All over the world, in the churches, incredible things are really beginning to happen. Signs and wonders and miracles are happening all over the church world. The Bible teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ, before he ascended into heaven, give us a command. And I will read you that command found in Mark chapter 16. It tells us, go you all into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And the sign shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, they shall pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Then an astonishing statement is being made in verse 20. It tells us, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. And I firmly believe this has been the mark of the true church throughout history. Signs following those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and who were preaching the gospel. Throughout the North American history, we have seen many, many people turn to the Lord when anointed preachers were preaching the word of God and giving the invitation to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But today, many are standing up with another gospel, and I firmly believe it's time for the Lord to prove His servants once again with signs and wonders following. It tells us that He will prove His word, that He will confirm His true workers that way. And we are now at the end where Jesus is coming back, and these things will again start to take shape. Throughout the world, we hear of incredible miracles and signs and wonders happening where the church is moving for God. But here in North America, the church has reduced itself to a mere shadow of what God wants it to be. I will liken it to an NFL football team that was once powerful, but has been reduced to playing touch football. This is what the church in North America is basically doing, playing touch football. And we need to revive that strength again, where we will be able to do the mighty works of God. For the Lord Jesus Christ makes a very interesting statement in John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. This is what the Lord God spoke to us before he left for his place at the right hand of the Father. He commanded us to go into all the world to preach the gospel. And he said, greater works will you do than I did. The Lord Jesus spoke these words to us not just to fill up space, but it's a commandment to us to go and do the works of God. And again, I want to thank all of you for your participation with this ministry. Thank you for your gifts and offerings and letters of encouragement. And I want to thank you from Radio Land, who every now and then come to worship with us in our church services. For we get visitors from Dauphin, from Swift Current, from different parts of Manitoba. It's such an encouragement when you introduce yourselves. We meet in the auditorium of the Steinbeck Mennonite Heritage Village. It is located at the north end of Steinbeck on Highway number 12. Our services start at 10:30 Sunday morning. The Lord has been a great blessing to us throughout our ministry, and I thank you all for your participation. The Lord will give you a blessed new year and make you a blessing to many. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.
Praise, and my friends can plainly see there's been a change in